So everybody knows this is a high Sabbath, and it should be a time that we set aside to come and worship the Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for. I just want to just take a few moments for us to just reflect upon how valuable it is that we are thankful for the Lord's goodness on our life. There's a lot of people that's not nearly as fortunate as we are tonight. We're very fortunate to be where we are. And we ought to remember, you know how that felt, you know the pain that you felt when you went through Katrina. There's a lot of people feeling that same pain tonight. Yet God saw fit, for whatever reason, is to give us an opportunity to do what we're doing now. So you might have a few things going on. Everybody's got stuff going on. But sometimes you're so focused on what you got going on, you can't see how wonderful God is. And that you should never let that happen. See, the real you is your character when you're in the middle of the stuff going on. What's your character like? And if your character's only thinking about what you got going on, your character needs some help. So before I do the tour portion, I'm going to do a little house cleaning. How many of you know I like house cleaning? How many of you know how important that is? You can't just stay focused on what you got going on. You have to look at how good God's been to you. And let God, He's trying to see what we're going to do at this time. Are we still going to praise Him? You can't wait to praise Him. You can't wait to be excited. You can't wait to do what God wants you to do. And especially this time, it happened during our feast time. And so, I was just reflecting, me and the Lord, just having a talk. We were just reflecting on, this has been one of the most trying years for everybody. And you look back at it, and you think about, what's it for if we don't get better? It's a waste of time. We're wasting God's time for sure if we're not going to get better. God wants to see when He steps back and allows circumstance to come, what's my reaction? What am I going to do? Is it going to get me sharper? Is it going to fine-tune me in the things of God? Or is it going to get me where I feel a little bitter? I feel a little left out. If you're feeling left out, you don't know who God is. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. No matter what happens, He's always there and He's faithful to us. How many know when you start thinking about God's faithfulness and His goodness in our life? And just remember this, when you're going through whatever you're going through, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people going through, and some people got it a lot more difficult. So what God wants you to do in the crisis is you got to let your character shine forth. And these are all things, this is not new preaching here, this is all things we should have learned through the tour portions. When you're going through the tour point, this is what it teaches you, and you remember these things. He's wanting us to realize that you don't know who you really are until you're in it. The real you is not the one that comes and the music's playing and we got our hands up and we're doing this. That's not the real you. The real you is when you got all this stuff going on and your list is this long and you still stop and pause and you give God praise regardless. If you're not doing that, then you haven't learned anything in 54 Torah portions. 54 Torah portions, you haven't learned anything. And we're not here just to take up your time. We're here to teach you and to train you to realize this is what Yeshua did. You know why Yeshua stayed in the Word? Because He knew He needed it. And He knew it would make Him be the person that could be the supreme sacrifice that would satisfy God. And that's what His whole aim was. He said, I'm not here to satisfy me. I'm here to satisfy you. And I think about that. And last night we was talking about this. And I can't talk about it without being emotional. Because I think about Yeshua. You know, it was fine when He was walking on the water and feeding the 5,000. The light was on Him and it was blaring when He turned the water into wine. But that's not all His life. He was still Yeshua, solid Yeshua, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said, God, I'm about to die. My life's going to be taken and I'm counting on You. He never once felt like he was not going to be taken care of. He knew, not my will, but your will be done. He always reflected not what he wanted. It's a perfect example of selfless love, and that's what the Torah is teaching us. To not think about what we got going on. You can get really bottled down in that stuff. You really can. You can get really caught up in it. Well, I got this to do, I got that to do, I got this to do, I got that to do. You're not the only one that has this to do and that to do. Sometimes you gotta hit time out. And this is what church is set up for. It's to give us a time out. That's why the feast days are set up. It's to give us a time out. That's why we have Shabbat services. It's to give us a time out because you can get overwhelmed by it. And if this is bugging you what I'm saying, then good. It should bug you. Sometimes we got to hit a time out. We're not disciplined enough to do that. We'll go on and on and on and on, but God sets our time. He says, time out. Stop. Today, it's me and you. Today is me and you. And you, there's no money in the world. It's not enough that can buy the me and you moments you have with him. And we should never want something more than we want him. We should never want to desire something more than we want him. It should be the top of our mind. It should be the thing we think about when our eyes open. We just got woken up. And that didn't have to happen. When we went to sleep, we could have stayed sleeping. It didn't have to happen. But he woke us up. The moment he does, it ought to be automatic. You shouldn't have to think about it. It's automatic. Jehovah, what can I do? I release my life to you. If I'm running it, it's going to be a mess. But if you take the lead and I'm following you, I know it's going to be fine. That's what it's all about. So I want you to think about Moses here in this 54th portion. So what we're going to do, and again, we talked about this just for service, and I went over this again today. And I said, it's so important that we don't miss what the 54th Torah portion is about. So we're going to cover part of it tonight, and then in the eighth day, we're going to finish it. So we got tonight, and then we got Friday night, Shabbat morning, and then the eighth-day celebration is all going to be in the 54th Torah portion. Because at the eighth-day Shemitah Atzeret, you should be finishing the Torah portion and getting ready to start over again. And that's what it's all about. And so, as far as Sukkot, if you haven't learned what Sukkot is by now, I don't know what else I can teach you about Sukkot. You should know that it's time to give joyous praise and adoration and have fun. You should be a happy time of year. He said, well, I'm not very happy. I got mold in my house. Well, look around you, because everybody here probably got a little mold in the house, and it's not the first time it's been there. Don't focus on the mold. Focus on the fact you still got a house. You got a house and you ought to give him thanks, and you ought to be thinking about somebody you can help rather than just thinking about what you got going on. Because then you're really fulfilling the Torah. It's not just about what you got going, but there's somebody, who can I help? And sometimes you have to set aside what you got to do to go and help. But it's okay to be that way, because it gives you an opportunity to be a witness. So we're going to get started here. How many still love me? So in this portion, 54, Vizot Habikaraka is Hebrew for this is the blessing. This is the blessing. This is the blessing. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 33 and chapter 34. So two chapters. Hopefully you've read all through. You should have read through all of this already. This is something you should have read through. And then Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 18 is the half Torah. The topics in the Porsche this week, the Porsche sets out the farewell blessing of Moses for the 12 tribes of Israel and concludes with the death of Moses. So it seems like this farewell address, it's got a lot of blessings in it. They're blessed and they're told the blessings of the Lord, and then he dies. It's like it ends on a bad note. He dies. So this final portion, again, of the Torah of Moshe is called Vazot HaBeraka. This means this is the blessings. This is the blessings. How many know we want to be blessed? And the blessings come from the Lord after we've done what? We hear, guard, and do. And what releases the blessings? Hear, guard, and do. You can't get them, you can't miss one of those. Sometimes we miss the doing part. And so we wonder why the blessings are not. How many wants the blessings of the Lord over your life? Where things you put your hands to do will be blessed. Hear, guard, and do. Now what's what it means to have a curse on your life? What is the curse? That's opposite the blessing. The blessing's missing. So when the blessing's missing, what do you fall under? What's the bracket you fall under? Under the curse. And you don't want that. Nobody, you don't want that in your life. So this phrase comes from the root word, Zot, Strong's H2063, which is translated as this one, here, which, and the one. And it comes from the second word, is Baraka, Strong's H1293, which means a blessing, benefit, blessings, generous, which comes from the primitive root word Barak, which is Strong's 1288, and means to abundantly bless. Does God just want to bless you? Or does he want to abundantly bless you? How many want the abundant blessings? What's abundant blessings? Well, you don't just have enough for what you got going on. How many know most people spend their lifetime and they still struggle with having enough to meet their needs? Is that the blessings he's talking about here? He's not talking about that blessings. He wants you to be blessed where you're not only focused on what you got going on, but you have the means in which to extend yourself to help others. Now, how many have that desire? Some people don't even have that desire to help others. So you can't go through 54 portions of the Torah and not have a desire to help others. If you do that and you're still struggling, you're not listening to any of the Torah portions. Maybe you're a hearer only, but not a doer of the word. All throughout the Torah, we're told or we're given examples that we're to not just seek something that satisfies me, but I don't want to just satisfy it. I want to be a blessing to other people. And so I should set my goal that way. That should be my aim to do that. So a blessing, benefit, and so he's talking about in Barak, he says it's to abundantly bless. It literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. I want you to get this picture in your mind, because when we get to verse 1, you're going to need to know this. I want you to think about this. So this is Jehovah. He's expressing his thankfulness to Moshe for the job he did. Now, he still don't get to go in, but he's not mad at him. I mean, thank God that he ain't got mad at us every time we deserve to be mad, get mad at. What stops God's harshness against us? We recognize our mistake and we teshuvah, we repent and we turn back to the source and recognize that it wasn't God that got me there. It was me that got me there, but he got me out of it. And I thank him for that. I mean, thank God he got you out. He's good to us in that way. And so, and you come to God, and what's your expectation? What's everybody's expectations? You're going to come before God. You got a meeting with Him, and you're going to come before God. What's your expectation? What should be your disposition? I'm going to do a disposition, and let me tell you, and you agree with me. If everybody agrees, I want you to stand to your feet. You come before Jehovah, and you're looking at Him, and you do this. You agree with that? Let's all stand. I want you to think about that. Wouldn't that be something? You get a meeting with the Most High, and when you see Him, you just fall down. But let me tell you, before you got down, what if the Most High took a knee and extended His hand to you? How would that make you feel? Does it make you want to weep? Think about it. You didn't expect that. Moses had no clue what was about to happen. He had no clue, but he's trying to tell us. He said, I'm extending myself to you. You have no idea. You're going to go up and die, but I'm telling you, I'm extending myself to you. What does that represent in the Scripture? When He extends His right hand to us. He said, Yeshua's going to come on the scene, and it won't be long. He's going to wake you up, Moshe, and you're going to be right there with Him. He's trying to get us to see the messianic picture that's here in 54. It's a beautiful. It's so beautiful. You can't help it but weep before the Lord because Jehovah Himself took the knee right when you entered in, and He extends His right hand to you, and He says, I want you more than you want me. I just want you to realize that I'm all in. He's all in for you. He's give everything He possibly can to have a relationship with you. And sometimes we don't realize how selfish we are. We don't realize it until you have a crisis come. The crisis is telling on you. The crisis really shows what you got going on. He don't want us to be selfish. He wants us to be selfless. Does that make sense to everybody? Because He wasn't. We're talking about the Most High, the one who spoke everything to existence. Right when you walked in, you had no expectation of this, but He took the knee and extended His arm to you. That's the picture He shows in 54, and I want you to keep that in mind as we go through it because it's absolutely beautiful when we see it. You may be seated. In Hebrew ancient pictograph script, as the word for bless is barak, Strong's 1288 pictures as the bet, the resh, and the kaf. It's absolutely incredible. The bet in ancient script has this letter as the bet, which pictures a tent floor plan. It means house or tent. It represents family. How many know God is all about family? He don't call you stranger. He's not treating us like a stranger. It's family. And I want you to get that picture. When you come to His house, you can go in His refrigerator and you can get whatever you want tonight. If you go home and you say, man, I should have ate, that's on you. I really wanted something to drink, but I didn't feel like going and get it. I felt, look, you should not feel embarrassed in your father's house. It's yours. You go to your mom's house. When I go to my mom's house, she got something cooked. I don't feel bad when she says, let's eat. Let's eat. They got water in the refrigerator. I get a bottle of water. Papa makes coffee. I get coffee. I'm like at my own house. It's amazing how we don't feel that way when we come to His house. And that's how we should feel. And it's not God, because you know where His position is? Don't forget it. Don't forget it. You're sick in your body, and He took a knee and extended His hand, but we won't even get out of our seat and get prayer. You're struggling with things, and we won't even open up our heart to Him. We won't say, I'm sorry. We won't say, forgive me. When's the last time you really teshuvah and you cried before the Lord because you were so sick of how your life is going? Just remember, I want you to never forget this. You know where He's at? And I couldn't get it out of my mind. I just kept seeing it over and over. I seen the Lord as He got down and He extended Himself. And I said, God, there's so much we have to learn here. There's so much. You don't realize how selfish you are until He shows you a picture like this. And you go, what's going on with me? Why am I like this? Because you can't just be a hearer of the Torah only. You got to be a doer of the Torah, and you got to practice it. And you practice it, you get better and better at it. And so I can't wait to start again on number one. How many know we need to go back over it again? We need it. We gotta get this. And when we get it, we'll see how important it is. But it represents family. Think about it. So it's not just a blessing for one. It's a blessing for the whole family. So everything you do, it's affecting other people. It affects other people. It's so important. So listen, when I get up and I study the Bible, there's a portion of that study that's just for me. Because I got to get all of the Jesse out of the way before I can get an open channel to the Lord so he can download in me. I have to. So it's just me and God. But then it turns into I'm representing an entire family here. I got to know this. If I don't know it, I sure can't tell you to know it. Do you understand that? And so and the reason I know that, and you can't get out of it, it's not my thoughts, it's not my ideas. It's the way he uses these words that frames it for us. It's about family. It represents family, the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. God's not concerned about the building. Buildings come and go. And that's what happened. How many of you know a lot of people saw their buildings go in this last storm? And you know what that feels like. You see them there and then it's gone. Buildings come and go. That's not where he resides. He's talking about the person. You that are here. No, you're not that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit, set apart spirit. He wants to move into us. He wants to be with us no matter where we are. So if the wind's blowing and the rain's pouring down and the roof blows off, he's right there with you. He's right there inside of you. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to be encouraged in that. So he says the tent is not talking about the structure when he's talking about uses this bet. He wants us to talk about what's on the inside. It represents the family on the inside. The resh is ancient pictograph script. Is this letter? It pictures the head of a man. It carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as in the being the top of the body or the head of the tribe, and one who rules. Who's head of the tribe? Who's head of the tribe? Think about it. He said, he's the head and we're the body, where's the head at right now? Where's the head at? Did he go in there and sit himself down there? He was put. He gave him authority. He set him at his own right hand. Who's him that set him at his own right hand? Jehovah. He set him at his own right hand. Who is he? Jehovah was set at his own right hand. Think about that. So Jehovah said, Yeshua, this is your spot. Nobody can take it from you. I'm setting you at my own right hand. And so from that moment on, whatever Yeshua says, it's like speaking for his Father. That's why he said, these are not my words. These are the words that was downloaded in me. These are the words the Father gave me, what I tell you to do. And he expects us to do it. So it's the top, beginning, chief, and as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe and one who rules. And also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief. And then the Kaf, an ancient pictograph script, has this letter as pictures the open palm of a hand. And it carries a symbol that to which submission is given under the hand. Under the hand. Think about that. So once again, we're able to clearly see who it is who blesses us. The house assembly of Elohim is blessed as the head chief comes down and extends his open, revealed hand to his own. And so, how did Jehovah do this? It don't even seem like it's possible. Why would God take a knee? He did it when he sent his only begotten son. He extended him to all of humanity. It didn't matter if you were saved or not saved, good or not good, it didn't matter. All who sinned and come short, he extended himself just like that. I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says Jehovah. It's not to hurt you. It's to give you a hope and a future and expect it in. How many is expecting a good future? Don't talk in terms, but I don't know what's going to happen. You know, if it don't, you know, there used to be a term in the fishing community, it's all over for the good guys. Or they say, it's so bad, everybody got the Tarantino stare. I mean, I've heard all those terms. I mean, I don't even know what they mean, but people repeat them. all over for the good guys. Isn't that insinuating? The good guys got to be bad guys to make it now? That's what I think it means. Can't be good no more to make it. Is that in the Torah? Is that what Torah teaches? I know we get caught up in these little sayings, but we got to quit that. We got to slap our mouth a little bit. Some of us say so much, by the time we'd have black eyes, by the time we quit slapping ourselves. But we got to quit talking in those terms. You don't realize that this is not blessing. We're talking about blessings here. And so Moshe's about to bless all 12 of the tribes, and he's not telling them evil things. He's just saying, this is what the Lord, word of the Lord says to you, and he gives the word. So listen, he extends his open, revealed hand to his own. In other words, the head of the house has shown his hand. When he said, we hear this term, he shows his hand. What was his hand that he showed? What's his name? Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Our Messiah. How many thank God that you know Yeshua and how incredible he was? Let's just talk about how incredible he was. When his very own didn't want him. When you talk about loneliness, he experienced loneliness. His own disciples fled. He was lonely, but he trusted his Father with everything, with his whole life. And that's why he was willing to die, because he said, I'm going to trust you with my life. How many love him that much that you can say, I'm going to trust him with my life? So right when God's leading us, and he's leading us, what is he leading us? He's leading us in the Torah. He's leading us in get involved in the things of God, be faithful to things of God, and all of a sudden we get the blessings start coming, and then we want to take the wheel. We got this. How many of you ever said you got it and it turns out bad? Who we call first? Help. I need rescuing. I've been there many times. I needed rescuing. And thank God, every time I needed rescuing, he's trying to let us know that he's humbled himself. He's not the big guy in the sky who's popping the whip. That's not what God's about. He's not trying to, but he is not going to tolerate us being wishy-washy in and out and can't make our mind up if we want to live for him or not. He won't tolerate that. So what is he going to do? He's not going to pop the whip on you. He don't have to. There's an adversary. Never forget, everybody say adversary. There's an adversary, and he's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you, when Jehovah steps back, and you all by yourself, you're susceptible to the adversary, and you don't want to be in that position. At all, you don't want to be there. You need him to rescue you. So what do you have to do to get him on your side? You got to repent. You got to have shuva. You got to come and repent before him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because when you think about what he did, and you can't humble yourself, does that make you what? Above God? More than him? If he went down, can't we go down? We got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And let me tell you, he shows his hand. What a blessing. Before his death, Moshe blessed the children of Israel with these words that are contained here in this chapter. And here in verse 1, we see Moshe being referred to as Moshe, the man of Elohim. Let me tell you, that's the title you want. And there's no gender restriction when you see the man of Elohim. This is men or women of Elohim. What we need is solid men of Elohim, and we need solid women of Elohim, and we're going to raise a generation that's going to be for Elohim. If we got solid men and women who are for Elohim, you don't worry about your children. It don't matter what happens in this world. Your children are going to be solid in God. And that should be your goal. That should be your desire. You want a generation that's coming up to be solid in him. Well, you can't have a solid generation come and serve God when you got wishy-washy mom and dad can't figure it out. Amen? Let's look at verse 1. But we ain't never getting through this unless we start. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing which Moshe, the man of Elohim, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Now, what did God call him? A man of Elohim. That's very powerful. Very powerful statement. Now, you'll find that this is the only time it's used in the Torah. Now, it was used about prophets in the writings. The one guy in the Torah, all of Torah, five books, a lot of material. How many know it's a lot of material? So we did 54 portions. This is the 54th portion. And we covered not quite a quarter of its entirety and scope. And we're talking about hour and a half, both services. We got about a quarter of it done because that's how big the scope is. When you talk about each verse and see why would he say the man of Elohim here. And what a title. You want that title. You want him to say man of Elohim. If he's calling you that, you're in the blessings. You're in the blessings. We ain't going to call you that if you wish you wash it. Can't figure it out, can't make your mind up. You got to get this thing solid. Amen? The title Man of Elohim is a title that we also see being given in Scripture to the prophets. So let's take a look at some of these because it's only used one time in the Torah. We got to go to the other writings to see why was this statement used? What does it mean? What is it saying? In 1 Kings we find this, chapter 12, verse 22. But the word of Elohim came to Shemaiah, the man of Elohim, saying. Now, the thing that struck me here is the word of Elohim came to this man of Elohim. That's what happens when you're a man of Elohim. What comes to you? The words of Jehovah come to you when you're a man of Elohim. So he identified him, gave him this title. He's the man of Elohim. I can count on him to deliver the message just like I say it. And you go on and read the context. I'm not going to read context of why this was used because we don't have the time. But you can write it down and go read it. The name Shemaiah, Strong's 8098, means heard by Jehovah. Heard by Jehovah. And here we find a great lesson in how those who are heard by Jehovah can be greatly used as true ambassadors of Jehovah. How many want to be an ambassador? Well, guess what? When you're serving God and you're following the Torah, it's not something you get to pick and choose. You are ambassadors. What do the United States have? When we have an ambassador, do we keep them in the United States? Do we keep them in the United States? No, we send them to foreign lands, and do they say what they want to say when they're there? Do they just have their own ideas and own agendas? No, they're there for one thing, speak on behalf of the United States of America. Well, as ambassadors of Jehovah, how is it we have so many different agendas? How is it? We should be speaking on behalf of Jehovah. Now, Yeshua was the greatest ambassador we've ever known. Did he speak on his own behalf? Did he defend his own life? Or did he lay his life down, didn't say a word, and he spoke only what Jehovah said? That's a true ambassador. We got to work. How many know we got to work on these things? They're valuable to our lives. That's what causes the blessing. We want the blessing in our life. Those who hear God and do are, in effect, men or women of Elohim. Because there's a qualifier. You can't just self-qualify. The qualifier is those who hear, guard, and do, or in effect, men of Elohim. So this was spoken of Moshe because he did what? He heard, he guarded, and he did what was told to him. Now he had a few mistakes, just like we all do. We have mistakes along the way. Anybody here had mistakes in your life? He told him to speak to the rock, and he struck it again. And a great lesson got learned there. And we learned that in the Torah. We went through that in the Torah. So there was a price that he paid for that he couldn't enter in. But does that mean that Moshe won't enter in? Remember, we got a good clue. We know what's going to happen. What does Jehovah do? Moshe, I got this. Don't be sad. He's about to die. This is on his last day here. I extended my hand to you. You're going to be fine. I'm going to send a Savior. You're going to redeem all of humanity from corruption, certain death. Think about that, what he pulled us out of. We ought to be so thankful and so grateful for the Lord. So this Shemaiah was the prophet that was told by Jehovah to go and speak to Rehoboam and all the house of Yehuda with the tribe of Benjamin and tell them not to go up and fight against the house of Israel. Don't go up and do it. They were dead set. We're going to go and we're going to fight. And now, you understand, they're fighting amongst themselves. They don't want to listen. So God sends the man of God then. He says, you go tell. The man of Elohim was sent. He said, this is what Jehovah said. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. And see, a man of Elohim went from Yehuda to Beth-El by the words of Jehovah unto Rehoboam was standing by an altar to burn incense. The man of Elohim went and boldly spoke up against the abominable worship that Jeroboam was performing and spoke out against the altar that Jeroboam had built and was burning incense on. Now, understand, this altar, was it an altar to Jehovah? He built an altar. He wasn't even qualified to build the altar. Now, it was to Jehovah, he said. But he says, you don't burn the incense on it. You're not qualified to do it. Now, he's in charge. He's the king. He said, is he going to take it lightly? No, he's going to get mad about it. Then he prophesied how in generations to come that the future king called Yehoshua, would be born and destroy the false priests and burn incense on the false altar, because the altar's false. It's not God's. What God set up is the only thing that can burn the incense. What happened to even Aaron's boys that brought the fire and the censer? That was strange fire. What happened to them? God rejected it. So what makes us think we can do it our way? What makes us think we have the ability to try to do it our way? We can't do it. So he's telling him. So the man of Elohim sent to tell him, you burn incense on this false altar. This took huge courage. You got to be a man of Elohim to take that courage to tell the king, you messing up. Of course, Jeroboam was ticked off. How many know people get ticked off when you tell them the truth? I've had people get ticked off in the church service. Hello? But I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to deliver the message. And so we want to be friends or we want to deliver the message. The message is important and we have to hear the message in order to learn from God. So he was ticked off, stretched out his hand to this man of Elohim and commanded that he be seized. Seize him. He's done. This wicked king gave those orders. His hand dried up. And he could not bring it back to himself. Think about that. You think this king kind of got the picture after? He says, seize him. And all of a sudden his hand dries up. And it's stiff as a board. It was dead. The rigor mortis had set in. And there he is. Got a dried up limb. Like a limb on a tree. That'd get my attention. He's trying to get it back in. It ain't working because it's dead. That happened, you change your mind, wouldn't you? He begged for the prophet to pray for his healing, which he did, and the king's hand was restored. And then he tried to bribe the man of Elohim with refreshments and gifts. That's what happens when you're not Torah deep. You have a miracle, and it still don't get you right. He tried to bribe him after that with refreshments and gifts. Think about that. He just performed a miracle. He took your dead limb and gave life back to it because you wouldn't listen to him. And now you're trying to get on his good side. Come on, man. Come on, buddy. We're going to be friends. You can have some of the, I'll give you all these refreshments. You sit at the king's table. How many know the man of Elohim, he don't take bribes. He don't take bribes. It's like Daniel. Daniel said, you can fatten up everybody else, but this guy ain't going to eat it. And you can shut prayer down if you want, but this guy's going to pray. You know why? Because Daniel got that picture. He got that picture, and he was not going to let anybody run interference with his relationship. Because let me tell you, a lot of people will interfere with your relationship. that will interfere with what you got going on with. It could be a company that interfere with your relationship. It could be family members that interfere with your relationship. You can't let anybody interfere with your relationship. You can't even let your spouse, you can't let a husband, you can't let your children interfere with your relationship, because if you get going, then the whole family's lost. Somebody got to stand planted. Somebody got to realize and be a man of Elohim and realize this is the picture you got, and you're not going to let God down. If he's taking a knee for you, you take one for him. First Kings 17, verse 18. And she said to the Eliyahu, "What have I to do with you?" This is just another example. "O man of Elohim, have you come to me to bring my crookedness and to be remembered and to kill my son?" So think about Elijah. He's coming. Remember, he spoke this miracle child for this woman. And he comes back. And this woman says to him, "O Eliyahu, what have I to do with thee, O man of Elohim?" Think her words. Man of Elohim. Who she recognized him as? A man of Elohim. Have you come to me to bring my crookedness to be remembered and to kill my son? Let's look at this name. The name of this prophet is Eliyahu. Strong's H452 means my El is Yah, Yah is El. Think about that. Here, it was here that he was told to go and speak to the wicked king of the house of Israel, Ahab. So he has a spot to go, and as he's resting in that spot, the word of the Lord comes to him again. What does the man of Elohim do? Does he go to Ahab? He goes to Ahab. Does he want to? Not really. Who is he afraid of? When he goes to Ahab, who is he afraid of? Jezebel. But he goes. Why did he go? Because he's a man of Elohim. There's going to be things you're not going to want to do, but you do it. And you don't have to explain yourself to people. Sometimes we feel we have a need to, but you don't have to. If you're a man of Elohim, you do the things that you don't really want to do, but you do them because you're representing the Most High. And you're steadfast, you're unmovable, you're always going to abound in the blessings of the Lord if you take that approach. And whatever God has for you, he's going to bless you, and you don't have to worry about anything. And it won't be anything that you gather to yourself. Because let me tell you, a lot of people experience blessings, but it's their gathering. They gather to themselves. And you gather to yourself, and to yourself, and to yourself. When Israel did that, you know what? It was like huge cisterns with holes in them. And it just all leaked out. At the end of the day, you go, man, where did it all go? What happened? But when Jehovah blesses you, it's like you contain it. You're not old wineskins trying to contain the blessings of God. You got new wineskins, and he's putting fresh oil in them. And he's giving you the blessings that he wants you to have. It was here that we are told to go and speak to the wicked king in the house of Israel, and he goes to Ahab. And look at 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28. "And there came near a man of Elohim and spoke to the sovereign of Israel and said, Thus said Jehovah, because the Arameans said, Jehovah is Elohim of the hills." Everybody say the hills. "But he is not the Elohim of the valleys." They valleys. "Therefore, I shall give all this great company into your hands, and you shall know that I am Jehovah." Now let me tell you, you don't want to get on Jehovah's bad side. You can't go around and misspeak about him. That's what Darmin says. Listen, sure we believe in Jehovah. He's a great God. He's the God of the mountains, the hills. But he's not the God of the valley. So tell him to come in the valley and we'll whoop him. They was trying to get Israel to come into the valley. We'll beat them up. They'll be sorry they come in the valley. So Jehovah spoke up and said, because you said that, I want you to know, I shall give you this great company into your hands, and you shall know that I am Jehovah of the hills and the valley. You'll know. When they're done with you, you're going to figure it out. And let me tell you, did they figure it out? You better believe it. Because you can't go around and misspeak about Jehovah. So don't do that. You might be having a bad day. You might be going through some stuff. You might look at everything and all you see is this. You and your stuff. And you can get a little upset with Jehovah. You go, man, I'm going to Torah, I'm doing Shabbat, I'm doing the feast days, and I got mold. I got shingles missing. What's going on, Lord? Don't misspeak about Jehovah. Don't misspeak about it. Just know this. He saw you when you were there, and he still sees you now. What's your attitude? That should be your attitude right there. If you're learning anything about Torah, if you're figuring it out, that should be your attitude. Lord, I thank you that I was following you when I got here. My needs are your responsibility. And all I'm going to do is praise you. Is he not God in the storm? Or is he just God in the sunshine? What about this day, today? Man, that little front come through, isn't it beautiful? It was like I worked all day long. I didn't even feel it. It was the right time. It was perfect. But he's God when it's smothering hot. You can't hardly breathe. He's still God. And that's the thing we got to settle inside of us. When stuff is broke, when stuff, you got to fix it. When you get so you're busy, you're still God. If you take God and diminish him in the least little bit, you just put something else in front of him. What did he command us? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing shall be before him. You don't want to be accused of that, especially by Jehovah. This man of Elohim came and spoke to Ahab and told him that Jehovah would give the Arameans into their hands, not because of the house of Israel was good, but because the Arameans limited Jehovah. Do you see this? It wasn't because Israel was all that and they were flowing perfectly with the Lord. They had their own problems. But when the enemy speaks false against Jehovah, you ought to pick it up instantly. Well, how do you know you can pick it up if you don't know who he is? If you don't know the attributes of God, and you don't know the character of God, you don't know that he's selfless love, and if somebody's speaking, well, God is, he's a vengeful God. What are you supposed to do? You speak up. Say, what are you talking about? You can talk about anything else. You want to talk about me? Talk about me. You want to trash me? Trash me. But don't trash the Most High. And that's what they did. And the man of Elohim went over there and said, you're in trouble. Boy, you have no idea how much trouble you're in. And Arameans limited Jehovah to being Elohim of the mountains only and reckoned that if he got Israel to meet them in the valley, they would be able to defeat them. Jehovah then sent this man of Elohim to tell Ahab that the enemy of Israel would be given into their hands in order to show all nations that power of the hand of Jehovah. He said, I'll let everybody know. You speak falsely against God, that's a bad spot to be. And sometimes frustration makes words come out of our mouth. That's why we got to make sure we take captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Yeshua. We got to make sure that we take it. Because what did he do? He's the only example we got. We got no other example of somebody that can come and go through all these things in life and suffer these consequences. How many know that Yeshua has been in a storm or two? He's been in some storms. He's been in storms that he could have drowned and lost his life, and everybody the boat, everybody in the boat. What was his disposition? He was so in tune with his Father, he said, I think I'm going to just rest right here. I'm going to lay down and take me a nap. While the boat's filling up with water and tossing and turning, and the disciples are all crying, he said, I'm so in tune with my Father. Because he told me we're going to the other side. That's good enough for me. He told me I'm going to the other side. So he didn't say we would go to the other side with no storm. See, a lot of people, they get frustrated in the process, the journey. They want the prize, but they don't want the journey. And look at today and last week and week before that. It's just part of the journey. It's part of the journey. If God saw fit to keep us from any of it, he'd have done that. But he didn't. So if he didn't, we ought to be good with it. We should not in the slightest bit look to him as somehow he let us down. How can he let us down when this is what he does? And I tell you what, this is the stuff I lived on the whole time we were going. The whole time, because I was in this word, and I just downloaded inside of me, and I couldn't wait to get here to share it. I couldn't wait. It was burning on the inside of me because I know this picture. If you get this picture, you'll always realize. If you want, sometimes you feel so alone, you feel so like you got to handle it yourself. You're wondering about God. You're never going to wonder about Him no more. You don't have to wonder about God. God's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. He said, I'll be there with you. When the end comes, I'll be there. Everybody else will bail on you, but he'll be there, and He wants us to know that. He's faithful. He's faithful to how long? Till the end. Till the end, He's faithful, and that's something that we can count on. Ahab, that enemy of Israel, would be given into their hands in order to show the nation the power of the hand of Jehovah. In 2 Kings chapter 4, another one here. So she went and informed the man of Elohim and said, and he said, go sell the all and pay your debt and your sons and live on the rest. Remember the woman? She had a debt to pay. And the man of Elohim was there and he said, well, what do you have? All I got is this little bottle of oil. That's good enough. Close the doors. Go get some vessels from your neighbors and shut the doors. I don't want nobody to think that you're going to get some outside help. This is a Yehovah moment, and you're going to experience every part of it. How many know you need a Yehovah moment? That's what I'm looking for. I just need a moment. And it's just a moment. In a moment, He changed your life forever. In a moment, your finances could be changed in a moment. How many thank God for your moment? It's coming. I don't know about you, but I'm thanking God for my moment. Because that's what He does. He's the master at it. But in order to get your moment, you got to have faith. And faith without works is dead. You can't just say, well, she could have said, oh, no, that's all I got. I'm not doing any of this. All I got. She could have held on to it. You know what He told her? Go get vessels from your neighbor. Now shut the door because I don't want you to be influenced by the outside influence. I don't want you to be sidetracked. I don't want you to, because the enemy will run, he'll run interference back and forth. Was she experiencing interference? Yeah, they would come and say, we're taking your boys. They're going to work for us the rest of their life. They'll be slaves. We're taking them because you owe this debt. That's all he was doing. But the man of God, the man of Elohim said, get in your house and shut the door. You're about to have a Yehovah moment. She poured that first part of oil, and the jug she had was three times the size of the one she had. She said, I don't know what's going on here, but something's happening. She moved to the second jug, and it just kept coming. She was having a Yehovah moment. I mean, ready for yours. I'm ready for mine. Listen. I don't know about you, but the Torah has been working on me. It's been developing something inside of me that I wasn't even sure was happening until I got to one, this portion right here. And I said, Lord, I thank you for my moment. And so you got to see yourself. If you don't see yourself in the moment, you'll never get there. I see myself in the moment where God's going to stand up and He's going to say to the enemy, you should have never said that. You should have never spoke about Pastor Jesse that way, because I'm going to show you now. Think about it. You should have never said those things. So I'm thank God my moment's coming. Now, I don't know about you, but you got to receive it for yourself. When the word goes forth, you say, I receive it for myself. Consciously say it. So you can hear with your own ears. I ought to be hearing that going throughout this whole room right now. Receive it for myself. That's going to happen for me. My Yehovah moment is on its way. It's coming. Let me tell you, it won't come until you shut the door. You got to shut the door to the nonsense, the naysayers, because everybody, there's nothing more deflating than when you share your vision with somebody, your dream, and somebody says, I don't think that'll work. Shut the door. That's it. Shut the door. I don't think that's possible to happen down here. Shut the door. That's what folks say. They're dream killers. Well, if it's your dream and you know Jehovah give it to you, don't let nobody take that from you. Do you understand that? This is what He's trying to teach us. These moments. And what does He do? He sends the man of Elohim to tell you. You're about to have a Jehovah moment. And let me tell you, you talk about exciting in this room. That room was elated. They were excited. She filled all the vessels up and looked at her jug, and it was still full. Think she was happy that the man of Elohim came over that day? I don't know about her, but I tell you what, I'd be shouting. I'm telling you, I feel like the man of Elohim has given us a visitation through this Torah portion, and I'm expecting my Yehovah moment is coming, and I'm telling you ahead of time so you experience it with me. Amen? This man of Elohim was the prophet Elisha, named Elisha. In Strong's H477 means El is salvation. El is salvation. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to see salvation in the miracle that she had. But she had her boys about to go to a slave camp that they had died in. El is salvation shows up and says, I'm about to give you a moment. You're not only they won't die, but I'm going to have you be the talk of the town. You're going to swing heads from now on. You've been looked down, ostracized, forgotten, left by yourself. You're a widow with two boys. Nobody's here to help you pay your debt down. But let me tell you, El is salvation showed up. You know what happened? He did this. Shut the door. Just come on in. Take me by the hand. Shut the door and quit listening to the naysayers. I'm about to do something for you that you've been dreaming about all these years. I'm about to do it for you. Amen? I'm ready for your moment. Well, mine's on its way. I don't know about you, but mine already left the station. Listen to me. You ever ordered something and you can track it? You track it and it says, the order's been complete. Then they got another box to it. It says, it's went to shipping. And when it goes to shipping, you get a little more excited because there's only one box left, and that's it arrived. Mine went to shipping already. Name of one box left, it arrived. Jehovah moment is on its way, and I thank God for it, and I give him all the praise ahead of time because he's good to us. Amen? And so contract from Elisha, Strong's 474, meaning El is salvation, coming from two words. First one is El, Strong's H410, meaning mighty, strong, power, short for mighty one, Elohim, and Yeshua, Strong's H3467, means to deliver, save, salvation. Now, did he bring deliverance to that woman? See, the debtors came. They still came. They didn't know what happened. She shut the door. They were going to be here tomorrow. But they come the next day. The debtors come the next day. You think that she had a torn clothes on, a sad clothes on, a weeping clothes on? She was Hawaii bright. She opened that door. She flung it open and said, can I help y'all? We're here to get your boys because you didn't have no money yesterday. Just hold up a second. Hey, fellas, get one of them jugs. Just one of them jugs. She had her moment. And I'm telling you, you need to expect your moment. Because you can't live for Jehovah. You can't honor him without him blessing you. It's impossible for that to happen. So if you're experiencing a lack of the blessing, meaning there's a curse still hovering over you, you got to figure that out. What's going on? And when you figure it out, I can tell you 9 times out of 10, it's not your neighbor. It's not the one sitting next to you. It's me, oh Lord, that needs to get something fixed. And you get that worked out. And let me tell you, he's waiting. He's at the edge of his seat. He can't wait. He wants to bring you in the moment. He wants to extend it to you. And he wants to show up when in the last moment, it felt like it was all going to be lost. But I'm going to tell you, I can see a picture of this woman now. She flung her hair back. She got herself done that morning. She had something to get ready about. But the other day, she was sorrowful. My boys are going to be taken. They're going to die in this camp over here. They'll never pay this debt down. But the man of Elohim said, listen, take what you got. Go borrow vessels and shut the door. Quit listening to all that. Get you a moment with Jehovah and let him let you shine. Amen? How many want him to let you shine? Well, let me tell you, you're never going to have your moment until you claim it. If you don't claim your moment, just leave it sit there. You might go another 30 years. You know, you got no faith to claim anything. You got to claim it. You got to let faith arise. When it rises up in you, there's something about it. You'll speak the things that are not as though they are. Amen? This man of Elohim that received a double portion, anointing and succeeded the prophet, Eliyahu, in the above example of the recorded account of a few faithful men that were called men of Elohim during the time of the various kings of Israel and Yehuda, we are able to glean valuable insight in terms of the courageous and bold character that a true man of Elohim displays as a faithful ambassador and spokesman for Yehovah, our Elohim. I mean, thank God he's good for us. He's good to us. And let me tell you, this whole time as I was going over 54, and I carried this for a while because of how our Torah cycles happened. It was like we was done. We didn't have nothing to do. So I said, man, I'm going to go over this, and I just ate it up. And it really ministered to my life. And I figured out I had some stuff to do. And God gave me this time to get that stuff fixed so I was ready for the night. Amen? Can you tell? He'll get you ready if you let him. But he ain't getting you ready if you won't humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to admit you're wrong. And you got to take some responsibility. And say, Lord, we're going to do this thing better. And this is very important. These are simply a few examples we see in the text. And we also must take note that we see David, the beloved king, also being called the man of Elohim. Think about that. In Nehemiah 24, chapter 12, verse 24, the heads of the Levites and Hashabiah and Sherebiah and Yeshua, son of Kamiel, with their brothers opposite them, to praise, to give thanks, watch, according to the commandments of David, the man of Elohim. David was the man of Elohim. And he aspired to be the man of Elohim from his youth. Now, along the way, did he have some mistakes? Sure he did. Is mistakes a disqualifier to be a man of Elohim? That's what you got to ask yourself. Is mistakes a disqualifier of being a man of Elohim? What about Moshe? Moshe had some mistakes. At the end of his day, we're talking about portion 54, what is he described as? The man of Elohim. It's not a disqualifier if you humble yourself and repent. But we got to get repentance right. Repentance is not, well, I'm sorry, Lord, I try not to do it again. No, we're talking about crying out before God and say, I can't believe that I just dishonored the one who did this. And it ought to bug you for 3-4 days. It ought to bug you. You ought to be bugged by it. It's not just I fly by repentance. Not that. It ought to bug you. It ought to make you sick of your stomach until you can't stand to even be with yourself in the same room. And you cry out to God and say, Lord, I want to honor the one who took and sent salvation to me. I'm going to honor him. When you do that, you can expect your moment to come. Amen? He'll open your mind up. Your understanding will just open. You'll be enlightened. You'll start operating in gifts that you never dreamed you could have. This is what he wants to do. And you see things differently. And my prayer is that everybody, this is not just for the pastor. Let me tell you, if you think this is just some, God's got some special anointing he just delivers to the pastor, this is for every person, every child that's hearing this, what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying? When you humble yourself before Yehovah and you give him the glory he deserves, when you don't let nothing take from his glory and you honor that glory and that respect level, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you're not even able to contain. Because that's what he does when people honor him. We talk about David. David being a man of Elohim. Remember when they come there and they said, Saul's got his 1,000. Saul's got his 1,000, but they chant behind him. And David's got his 10,000. He wasn't even king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wasn't even king. Saul was king. What happened? The man of Elohim won the hearts of the people. So he won as a king. They looked at him as a king, but he wasn't king. Now here's what made David the man of Elohim. Did he speak falsely against Saul? Did he try to rally the people and say, we're against the king? Not one time. Did he not sneak into the cave had a sword to his throat and could have killed Saul, but he couldn't because he was still God's king. And he said, I won't dishonor, not the king, but I won't dishonor Jehovah. So I'll just let him know I've been here, took a piece off. All that matters to God. It really matters. So when you're in your secret place and you trashing somebody, just keep that in mind. You're going to get your moment so far away from you, you won't know when it's going to come. You got to repent of those things. You can't do that stuff. David never spoke against Saul. Even though God rejected Saul, it wasn't his position to do it. He was still God's king. And God put him there, and he wasn't going to step in that way. He was going to wait his turn. And sometimes, that's what people do. They want a position so bad, they're willing to step on no matter who it is, no matter who they hurt, to get what they want. That's not what the Torah teaches. The Torah don't teach that behavior. And Dawid, he was a man of Elohim because of it. Because he wouldn't do it. But he let Saul know, I was right there when you were sleeping. And I'm not going to dishonor you. Because until God removes you, I'm not going to be called king. But the people were chanting, they couldn't stop him. Saul has got his 1,000, but David had his 10,000 because he won the heart of the people. Why did he win the heart of the people? Because he was doing things right. He was the man of Elohim. Was he the man of Elohim without mistakes? Remember, is it a disqualifier? Only if you don't repent. Did David repent? Which chapter in Psalms? 51. We ought to read it. We ought to read it at least 40 times here lately. If you're teshuva, you read it 40 times. Think about it. See, we think we're doing something because we go through a book. You can go through the book 100 times. You didn't do anything unless you do it God's way. You understand that? And you know when you've done it God's way because you don't even want to be with yourself when you hit that mark. And you realize how sorry you are and you're disgusted with your attitude and your heart attitude. You're disgusted with it. And you say, God, I'm asking you, I can't do it by myself. And I'm asking you to take away whatever it is that's blocking you from coming in because I need your help in this. And if you want Yeshua to come closer, you got to get the ugly away. And you can't get it away until you give it to him. Whatever you commit to him, he'll take care of it. But you got to commit it to him. As long as you got it, you got it. How many see this thing go all night? So we're still trying to get to chapter verse 2. I don't even know where that's at. In the Torah, so we have this title, Man of Elohim, is used many times in the prophets, also used of Dawid, as well as the messengers of Jehovah. Yet, we take note is that in the Torah, it is only used here in Deuteronomy, and so this record of Moshe being called Man of Elohim is the only time in the Torah that anyone is called by this. How incredible it is. Now, look at the timing and when God chose to call him this. On his last day, he wanted Moshe to know, Moshe, you have no idea how I want you to go in, but I can't let you go in until a Savior comes for you. You have no idea how blessed God wants us to be. We can't be blessed in our nonsense. We can't be blessed with our attitude the way they are. We can't be blessed until he gets that out. So how many know we need a Savior? And so he does this. He humbles himself and sends the extended arm, the right arm, sends Yeshua. And if you take everything Yeshua's got for you, you wouldn't be that way no more. How many can see that it works when you let it work? Some of you are prime examples of the work of Yeshua in your life, when you letting it work. So sometimes we get older, we get to going to church for a while, we do start doing the church thing. We start putting the church face on, and that's how we do. We start doing that. We play the game. That's all it is to us. We join the club, join the social club. But let me tell you, church has never been intended to be a social club. Church is a place of correction. You go through the Word of God, there's not been a time on all the years I've studied the Scripture, it's been a number of years, not a time that I've read the text where it didn't convict me and I felt like I needed to do some work. Not a single time. It's when we feel like we promote it. And part of the Torah keeping, that's what's been happening to a lot of people. They arrive. well, I got it all done. Just that attitude tells me you don't have it all done. Listen, there's not been a single time that I've read the text where I didn't feel that I needed to work on something. We've got to sharpen ourselves and we've got to be hungry for it. What does he say about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? They shall be what? Think about it. He wants it for us, but he says, happy is the person who does this. We use the term in King James, he puts the word blessed there. We've been talking about the blessings of the Lord on our life. And I just done something for me. He waited till all this time. Moshe had some times he could have called him the man of Elohim. I mean, he could have called him this many times. What about when he steps out to the Red Sea and he stretches the rod forth and the waters depart? That's the man of Elohim. They didn't know soon to get across. They came and complained to him and they were trying to fight against him. They were fighting on this side and the other side. But God waited till the end because he needed to let him know, Moshe, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I got you taken care of. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but this whole couple of weeks here, I've been feeling he's got me. And I can see myself shutting the door to the nonsense, the naysayers, and those who are always speaking negative, and I'm going to get my all, and I'm going to start pouring it. And I'm going to borrow vessels because I'm not going to think small, I'm going to think big. Amen? And the next day, I really can't do it like I see it doing it. But I'm trying to get you to get the picture. How many know what I'm talking about? She got a vest on. She done it up right. Had done everything. That bang on the boom, 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 boom. They thought this would be the lady they met yesterday. Here she comes. Just been crying for days. Can I help y'all? You know, you can talk like that. You're not avoiding the phone. Phone rings. Who is it? Oh, don't answer that. That's bill collector. But if you got the money, hello, can I help you? You're not worrying about it because you got it. That was her attitude once God got her to realize that you're about to have a Yehovah moment and I'm going to change your life forever. It's a wonderful story and I just love it. We must also recognize that Moshe did not call himself to this, but rather these last couple of chapters, the epilogue was written by Yehoshua and given Moshe this proper title. So think about it. The last couple of chapters is written by Joshua. And so Joshua is now getting this download from Yehovah. And he says, Joshua, right there I want you to call Moshe the man of Elohim. Wouldn't that be good? Joshua was so elated. Now, he's the leader now. He's going to take it on. But you think he was excited for Moshe? You better believe he was. He wasn't saying, well, what about me? That's the attitude of people a lot of times. When is my turn? When are we going to have it for me? Me, 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 me. Torah doesn't teach that. So if you're saying those things, go home, work on it tonight. That's a sure way to stop the blessings from coming. Sure way to stop the man of God from showing up. The man of Elohim shows up. And he tells the woman, go get some pots and get some vessels, shut the door. You're about to have your moment. That's what he's wanting to do for us. And listen, if God didn't want to do it, why do you think it's in this Torah portion? By chance? Why would we just read, hurry up and just take off? Let's hurry up and go to verse 2 because we got to get through this portion. Can you see how much can be in verse 1? If we just take our time and say, Lord, what does this mean, man of Elohim? What are you trying to tell us? And go look at every time it's said in the Bible and you find out all these wonderful gems. How many thank God he gave us a gem tonight? We must also recognize that Moshe did not call himself this, but rather these last couple of chapters, the epilogue, was written by Yehoshua and gives Moshe this proper title, a title that was highly regarded as clear, significant picture of the one who followed Yehovah wholeheartedly. Does it mean when you follow him wholeheartedly that it's not with a mistake here or there? You have them. Don't beat yourself up about that. Repent. And accept what he did for you through Yeshua. And you're not gonna carry that weight for long. For you long, you can't wait to come in and meet him. Every service You should be gearing yourself. You can't wait. You go into him and you see he's extending his hand to us. That ought to be something. Don't say, well, he extended his hand to me. I picked his hand up 30 years ago. I'm good. It's the people that are saying I'm good that's going to suffer the most. Because they can't be blessed no more. They can't be taught no more. You can't teach them anything. Ah, we got this. We got the sukkah down pat. Oh, I better stop. I want to get to verse 2, but we also see that Shaul uses this in his letter to Timotheus, which reveals a great deal of respect and high regard that Shaul saw in Timotheus, or Timothy. The qualities of a true man of Elohim reflected total dedication and commitment for which we are called to walk in as we walk in Messiah, the ultimate man of Elohim. Who's the ultimate man of Elohim? Messiah, our Mashiach. He's the ultimate. And so are we to be like him? And you can't be given the title if you're not like him. Let me see how this goes. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but you, O man of Elohim, this is what he's telling the man of Elohim, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love, and endurance and meekness. Now, I'm not going to read the context, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do tonight? You're going to go read the context, which is before this, what he's telling him to flee from. And I wish I could have put it all in here, but I mean to see, if you put it all in, you never get through with it. So I tell you this, I'll leave one verse, but when he says, but you, I started with a conjunction, what are you going to go back and read? What is he telling him to do? What he called him, man of Elohim? Because you could be a man of Elohim and fail miserably. You could reach the title, but fail. And the only reason you'd fail because you're neglecting to tend to the necessary things you need to do in that day, that particular day. And that's just not good enough for God. He's got too many things planned for you. The Lord starts showing me the stuff he's got planned for me. He starts showing me, I don't care who's against you if I'm for you. And you might think you only got a little, but I got some stuff planned for you. I'm about to do a moment for you. But the enemy's trying to sidetrack us. And sometimes we got to just quit some stuff in our life. We got to turn off some things. Got to shut the door to some things. How many know that's important? So do evaluation. That's what we should have done this whole teshuva before Yom Kippur. This should have been done. Yet we're sitting here during our celebration and we have a little storm come and we find out we didn't do a whole thorough job here. We missed some things. But that's okay because we have the message tonight. Amen? Now I could have talked about Sukkot. I could have come here and talked about Sukkot. And it gave you the whole Sukkot spill that I gave you four times already. But this right here is fresh. This is what we need. This is the word we need. And I went over this today, and as I was going over, I couldn't wait for Pastor Josh to get home from work. I wanted to tell him this. This is what we're going to do for the whole time of Sukkot. We're going to cover all of 50. If you think what I'm telling you is something, just wait. It thing grows. It gets bigger and better. So we'll do four services just on 54, and we won't near finish it. That's the volumes that God has deposited for the church to know. So do we have work to do? We do. We're going to dive in. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed by Elohim and profitable for teaching. What's for teaching? Scripture. Remember, all scripture is for teaching. For reproof? What's for reproof? All scripture. For setting straight? For instructions in righteousness? That the man of Elohim might be fitted. What does it mean to be fitted? So if you work in the oil field, you got fitters. You don't want a welder to have to weld a 2-inch gap. He ain't going to call you a good fitter. He's going to make you cut the pipe again because you're trying to make him do something that's, 2 inches? Give me a break. You want somebody to fit that thing in there and he's just got to pass a line up. How many know God don't want you to be going around with a 2-inch gap? Because how many know a 2-inch gap is plenty big enough for Satan to get in? He's just waiting for you to give him a crack. He's coming in. He's bringing everything he can against your home, against your family, against everything you got going on. Any little crack, he's coming in. But if you get this instruction from the Torah, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. That is powerful. That is powerful. So that's, I'll stop right there. What a good spot to stop. Amen. Very good spot to stop. So, Pastor Josh, you got it all come Friday. You got a lot to do still. Amen. So tomorrow, we normally would have a service in the morning, but there's a funeral service, Brother James, in the morning. We figured most people was going to be going to that. And so, you know, we wrestled over what to do, and we figured the best thing to do is not try to have a service with most people going to the funeral in the morning. So if you are going, not going, it's still Shabbat service. It's still a high Sabbath. So just keep that in mind. If you're not going, it's still a high Sabbath. And so I would take some time to spend God. After hearing tonight, I'd spend some time with Jehovah and work on your moment. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. And I'm so thankful. I've been so emotionally tied to this. It's been hard for me to talk about it. When I think about it, I get so emotional about it, I can't even speak words. I can't even say words. I got to pause for a little while because I can't even talk. It's a deep, deep emotional tie to this because I know what he's about to do. It's incredible. And he wants to do it for every person in here. Every single person in here, he wants to give you that moment. But you got to set yourself up for that moment. You have to set yourself up for that moment. You got to listen to him. You got to be willing to humble yourself before him and grab his hand. But the fact that he takes the knee has done something for me. The fact that he humbled himself by sending his own son, that shows his humility. And it should really activate you want to serve him. You want to live for him. You want to give him praise, all the glory and thanks. Amen. Well, I want to tell you thanks for being here. There's some refreshments in the back. We're going to go back in and have a good time. Enjoy ourselves in the Lord. And we'll see you next scheduled service, which will be Friday evening. Is our regular Shabbat service, Friday evening, Saturday morning. And then, of course, we still got Sukkot happening throughout the week. Amen. God bless you.